Greet you again this evening in the precious name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Tonight, as we approach this subject, I'm not here to speak on this subject because I've done everything right. But I believe that it is a need. As parents, realize the important time of our youth. This afternoon, as we talked, unless we've established our and have our children's hearts from the cradle up to their teenage years, it's going to be very difficult to have their hearts then. We have a choice to make. There's one choice that we will all have in life. But when life is all over, the evidence in eternity is how what we have chosen in life. Many parents and their children, especially their teenagers, there's walls built in many homes, and may I say, even in Mennonite homes. And youth wonder why their parents don't trust them. But when that relationship was not built, the trust was destroyed. Sometimes the issue is not so much a lack of trust, but rather a lack of understanding. I believe that the more we can understand our youth today, the stronger homes we will have. Do we understand what is taking place in the hearts of our teenagers? Many teenagers are reaching out for acceptance. And many times there are things in their life that are unchangeable and that they cannot change. God has brought you into a home for a purpose. God has given you parents. Parents, God has given you those children, those teenagers. And I think sometimes that point number one is that we need to accept our children as parents. Maybe our children just aren't quite like some other people's children. And sometimes God brings special needs children into our homes. Parents, do we accept that? Do we accept them the way they are? Especially think of where we used to go to church in the Eastern Church. There was a family who had a Down syndrome boy who had grown up and became in his adult years. But I love to just take special notice at church with him. It made his day. As parents, do we accept those special needs children? As parents, it is critical for you to accept your child's unchangeableness, the way God has brought them to you. It's important for you, for your teenagers, to know how much God loves them and how he values them and how important they are in your life. To realize that God uses even unchangeableness to his glory, including physical defects. Understanding these concepts are going to bring, as these children do grow up who have special needs, and do we provide for them. Do we help them understand God's purpose and design for their life? Do we understand and communicate? Do we speak words of praise to our teenagers? They long for your acceptance of them. If we're going to always down them, we're going to always be critical of them, they will find their acceptance somewhere else. And it just happened in homes. They will draw from others who will recognize them and who will accept. While they need correction at times, there are things that we can lift them up for. They want to share in the conversations at home. Let them share their feelings and their attitudes about things and help them and guide them. Look for specific situations in which demonstrates godly character. This requires, as parents, it requires daily attentiveness with us. In paying attention to your teenagers, hearing what they have to say, showing an interest in their associates, understanding where they were. Now, you should know basically where they're going before they leave home. And I trust you build that relationship with them. But I believe that praising them is not based on achievement, but rather on the character that produced the achievement. Praise is not based on the unchangeableness, but express approval when they do things that were good and right. I believe that we need to express approval of our children when they make wise choices. Commend them for that. Teenagers will start making choices in life. They will choose friends. They will choose associates. And choosing associates, my dear friends, tonight, it's very important who you choose. Parents, we ought to be paying attention to that. We ought to show an interest in their friends, and we ought to learn to know their friends. I remember my wife and I were courting. We would come home, and her parents would come home, and he'd often sit in the living room for a little bit. Through that, we built a very strong relationship. Show an interest in their courting years. Understand what's happening in their life. Maybe sometimes they will need to be challenged in the choices they make. And let them know that you appreciate when they make wise decisions. The next point is this, the need for instruction and protection for our teenagers. In the scriptures, going back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And also in Proverbs 27, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Going also to chapter 27, verse 12. And some are more vulnerable to influences around them, and we need to guard them. We need to protect them. Help them understand the dangers of some of those things. But in chapter 27, verse 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. When our teenager is under influence that is becomes very dangerous. We need to help them understand how dangerous it is to be under that influence. We need to be concerned about where they work. Show an interest in their occupation. Understand and know who they work around. In the book of Proverbs, you find five fools are described. A simple fool, a silly fool, sensual fool, and strong fool, and a steadfast fool. We can be going in the wrong direction very rapidly. We come under those influences. Teach your child to reject foolishness and seek wisdom. Help them understanding that seeking wisdom is that God has plenty of it for us. In James, he tells us to ask for it, and we will have it liberally. Help your child to understand that principle. And that when we open ourselves up to God for the wisdom of God, it is there for us. Beware of needs for protection. Obviously, your child physically needs protection from harmful substances and dangerous situations. A need that is not so obvious is the need to guard your child from the damaging influences of the world around us, of which we were talking about. And those influences can be very, very subtle. Instruct your child to discern situations that they find themselves in. As they become older, they learn to make those wise choices so that when they should be parents, that they can help their children to make wise choices of who they associate with. Ask the Lord to make you alert to the situation. And I believe we need to spend a lot of time in prayer, brothers and sisters, parents tonight, for our youth. Because the devil has a lot to offer to youth today. And in our pockets and in their pockets are some of the most dangerous tools and some of the most wicked places they can go on the smartphones. Help them to appreciate the church standard on that. Fathers, as long as your children are under your care, I promote a family cell phone plan where you are in control as a father. Thirdly, help your child to see the need to have a clear conscience. When a person becomes a Christian, he gains a pure conscience through the blood of Jesus Christ. However, a good or clear conscience toward God and man is necessary as well. In Acts 24:16, I'm going to turn to that. We live in a corrupt world today where there's evil on every hand. In chapter 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Spiritual striving, a good conscience, godliness, righteousness. Be alert to signs of alienation. Fathers, be alert to what's happening in your teenager's life. It takes more than just going fishing with them. It takes more than just going hunting with them. It takes more than playing ball with them. It takes knowing their heart tonight. There have been too many fathers who cried and said they've done a lot with their children, but there was influences coming into their life that has damaged their child. Be alert to all of life. But praise God, there is a way out. And I believe that we need to, when our children get into trouble, or our teenagers get into trouble, we must love our children unconditionally. We don't have to love what they're doing. We need to lay the standards down for home. And every situation in every home varies as to what you should do in a situation like that. But many teenagers today are struggling because of hidden failures. But they are too ashamed or too fearful to tell their parents. And maybe tonight it's because of how you might react. Can you patiently listen to them when they are talking and have them share their heart rather than making them feel so small? But help them understand that there is a way out. Consequently, many times what happens is they put up a wall between themselves and their parents. in an effort to keep failures hidden. When you sense your child is pulling away from you, your teenager is pulling back from you, we better be alert. We better start communicating. We better have been communicating before that. Because sometimes they will go to share with someone else who will listen to them if you won't. And I know situations like that. And the failure has come out through that other person. Why haven't they shared with their parents? Parents, do you make that time available? Do you make them feel at one? Do you make them feel comfortable? Come to you. Can they come to you as a father and pour out their heart and their failure to you without an overreaction? Keeping close interest in your child's life, in the teenager's life, will help to keep this from happening and will help to keep the walls from being put up. We served 18 months at Shepherd's Fold. I went there intending to be there for quite a while, but I was ordained after I was there for a year. And there's many hurting homes, and I say in the Mennonite Church as well, but praise God for victory. Keep a close interest, fathers and mothers. Keep well informed about your child's friendships, including his association with others through church, work, or school. It don't matter if you're in a Mennonite church. It doesn't matter if they go to the Mennonite school. They're among all Mennonite people. It doesn't keep those dangers away. There's outside influences. I want to tell you something. But they're creeping in. And I know a father who was extremely disappointed when he found about some inside influences coming into his son's life. He struggled. But thank God he rose to the challenge to win that son's heart. And I would say he has done that. So just because we have our own schools and churches, we're not exempt from these things happening. Because they do happen. Properly sharing even your own struggles sometimes with your child, with issues such as pride and greed and lust, can create an opportunity to ask appropriate questions to your teenagers about your child's struggles. Be considerate of your child and do not ask him personal questions in front of other groups or other people. Don't embarrass them. Make sure that he knows that he can share his struggles with you and it will be confidential with you. And that you will respectfully offer support and encouragement and accountability to him. Have your sons be accountable to you as fathers and have your daughters be accountable to you as mothers. I believe in accountability. I think we need it today. The cell phones and everything else. I think we need them. Certainly husbands and wives ought to be accountable to each other. But when there's older young people, single people that come into our congregations, I think we need to have accountability partners. It doesn't have to be the minister. It can be someone else in the church. But I encourage you to do that. We have a number of accountability partners at our church because we have a number of singles coming from other congregations without parents there. Five of those young men live at our house. Since Shepherd's Fold, we never cease from filling our house. We still have one guest room yet, so you can come by. Appeal to your child's conscience. To learn about his secret failures, it is best to appeal to his conscience rather than to his mind, will, or emotions. For example, in a private setting, begin asking your child, may I ask you some personal questions? Establish a relationship there and build that relationship to where they say, yes, Dad, you can ask me some questions, or yes, Mom, you can ask me some personal questions. And they're free to talk about it. That's the kind of relationship we need to build in our homes today. And I believe it's the kind of relationships that can bring honor and glory to God. And have them know that they do not have to answer the question right away. They may think about it. Don't put the pressure on them. Build that relationship. And have them freely open up about any situation in their life. If you are free to continue your questioning at that point, this point is appropriate to ask specific questions, such as, have you ever been involved in, have you ever been involved in this or that? Teach your child to ask for forgiveness for those things. Bring them to Jesus Christ, where they can find freedom from the grips of Satan, from the bondage of Satan. That chain, that bondage becomes strongholds in their life. But that chain of bondage of sin, that bondage from the devil can be broken. Just because your dad or your mom did it, just because grandfather did it, just because grandmother did it, whatever, you can break that chain tonight. Help them. The purpose of exposing wrongdoing is not to embarrass your child, but to help him establish a close relationship with God and find forgiveness, find freedom from this. Let them know that you understand, that you've been there too, and you understand what they're facing. Help them understand the need for moral purity. Unless we understand the need for moral purity, young men, young sisters, we're not ready for the marriage altar. Because those things don't go away after marriage. Avoid evil influences. Help them understand that as he learns to identify, or he or she learns to identify and reject that evil, he can avoid the natural progression of moral impurity that leads from one thing to another. Be attentive to your child's moral needs. If you discern tonight that your child, your teenager, is experiencing guilt and resulting in frustration, seek God, first of all, on the knee, on your knees yourself, and ask God to give you wisdom. Ask him to give you understanding to know how to approach this, rather than despairing and frustrating your child and having them go somewhere else to seek help. Be there to help them. Be sensitive about asking personal questions. Do it in a private conversation. Help them understand to confess and forsake any sin. That Jesus is there ready. He is our advocate. And he is there ready to forgive you. And you can find freedom from those things. Ask God to bind Satan over the situation and to free your child from bondage to sin. Help them to understand and to ask for that. Follow the direction of the Holy Spirit as you meet with your teenagers at times. And I think you need to do that on a regular basis. Can the bondage of immorality be broken? Yes, it can be. Tonight, at the foot of the cross, in the name of Jesus Christ, it can be broken. Through the power of God, this bondage can be broken. God's power is available to all who humble themselves before him. Acknowledge their sin, repent of it, and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. Fathers, I trust tonight that I'm looking into the faces of fathers who meet with their child as they consider courtship. Understand what their courtship standards are. Help them understand how important courtship is and how important purity is. Help them understand that. I believe that every father, as he meets with a child who's growing up, and even in teenage years before they begin courting, needs to be, and even right before they get married, he needs to be that open communication. Fathers to the young men and mothers to the young girls, Spirit of God can teach and guide the believer. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Are we walking in the Spirit of God tonight? And are we helping our young people to walk in the Spirit of God? Mind the voice of God through the power of His Holy Spirit. Help your child when the need arises to find forgiveness and the need to understand pain and forgiveness. If you sense that something is bothering your teenagers, take whatever time is needed to communicate with them. Your child wants to know that you are listening with your heart. Your teenager wants to know that you are listening with your heart. The Word of God is both offensive and defensive, weapon against sin. Teach your child the love of God. The love of God's Word, to read it faithfully and to memorize it and to meditate on it and to apply it in their life. Let's go with me to Psalms 119. There's some instruction there that I'd like to bring out at this point. Psalms 119. Begin reading at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. God, help us to help our young people have that experience. Help them understand from Ephesians 6:10 to 18 what it means to put on the whole armor of God, to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's out there beckoning to youth. Speak with them and ask them questions such as, is there anything about your appearance that you wish you could change? Help them to understand and accept the way God has made them. Be open with your teenagers and ask them if there's any promises that you have made as a parent that you did not attain to. Have you ever been falsely accused or wrongly disciplined? Your parents are human. They make mistakes. And yes, there's a sense in which we wish we could do it right the first time. But fathers, are we humble enough to go back to our teenagers and tell them we are sorry? I think we need to be. Tell them that we've been wrong. We misunderstood. We need to be humble enough to accept that and do that. Find out what's happening between the siblings. Fathers, when you're away for lunch, and this goes back to smaller children, but that starts way back there. Understand where they are on a Sunday afternoon, even your teenagers. Understand what's happening. Don't leave your smaller children alone for a long period of time. Ask them what has been most painful in their experience in life. Teach your child to respond wisely to rejection. Maybe we feel that we're just not quite in with some others. But you know what? The most important thing is for you to serve the Lord and find contentment in that. Explain to them that a person who has been rejected should first evaluate his own motives, thoughts, and actions. Maybe in a place like that, these questions would be appropriate. Are there things in my life that are offensive to others? The best way to answer this question is to ask friends this question directly sometimes. Have I done something to offend you? Have I said or done things that have damaged or offended others? If so, confess them and forsake them. And the list could go on. But most of all, find contentment where God has placed you. Lead your child to forgive others when possibly they have wronged you. As hurts and offenses are revealed, help your child to choose to forgive others. It's a choice tonight to forgive others. Even parents have things happen in their life that don't seem fair. And life isn't fair. And we can become angry. We can become bitter. Don't take that road. It's a very destructive road. If destructive emotions continue, they will affect even your physical health. You need to identify in your teenager's life, you must identify why they are feeling the way they do and resolve and help to resolve that. Help your child to see the offense from a biblical perspective and exhort him to forgive the offender. You could turn to the Gospels, but I'm not going to take time to do that. You could go to Matthew 18, verses 1 to 35. Read that chapter sometime. Help your child to be a giver, to learn to be a giver. By virtue of their needs, children begin life as takers. As takers. I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I want. But as we grow up, we need to help our children to be givers. A true spirit of unselfishness is giving. Giving begins when a child receives the gift of salvation. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God gives him the ability, gives him or her the ability to deny selfish motives and learn to give with the motive of genuine love, expecting nothing in return. Teach your children to learn to enjoy giving. I think if you, I don't know if many of you do a lot of gift giving or not at Christmas time, but I think it can be made too much of a do. We do some of that as a family to our grandchildren. But also help them understand that there's a joy in going and doing something for somebody else, giving somebody else some things, and involve your families in that. Help them understand the need for purpose in life. Your child needs to establish goals in life and make wise decisions. A godly foundation can be established in his life or her life as he answers these three questions satisfactorily. Where did I come from? I came with nothing, Job said, and I'm going to leave with nothing. And everything I have was given to me in life. Everything you have tonight was given to you in life. Where am I going? What is my goal in life? You grow older, teenagers. Where am I headed? You know, it seems, but yesterday when I was where you were. But 62 years, and where did it go? I'm not sure. Life is very rapidly moving on. Children are all married. As I said, we filled our house with other people. I believe our teenagers should be motivated to choose right priorities and make wise decisions. But you know, parents tonight, we set the example for that. We set the example for that. Help them seek guidance and the blessing of God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Very familiar verse. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Talks about parental duty here. Talks about instructions. I know we're not perfect parents tonight. No one has ever been a perfect parent. My prayer tonight is, despite all of our failures, that my children will turn out right, and our grandchildren will turn out right. As grandparents, we also become an influence upon their lives. We have a very important role to fill as parents tonight. Help to understand your own children and understand your grandchildren. Train up a child in the way he should go. He will not forget what he has been taught, even though he may depart from it. He will not depart from it as you understand the needs of a teenager and accept your God-given responsibility to train your child in godliness. You will be blessed and your child will be blessed. Ask the Lord to guide you and be merciful to you as you parent your children, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you and your children will perform it. In other words, will fulfill it completely until the day of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I want to take you to the New Testament, just a few scriptures in closing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath, here's what we talked about, here, he that which hath found a good work in you, he will perform it until the end of, until the day of Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. We can have that assurance. We can have confidence in God that it will be such tonight. But I believe tonight, as we think of our youth growing up, and we think of them approaching courtship, we think of them approaching married life, 1 Timothy 4:12 makes this comment. I want you to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. I want to challenge you tonight as youth. The scripture says, let no one despise your youth. Do what is right. And there may be times tonight as young people you're going to have to stand alone and not follow the crowd of young people. You need to be willing to stand for what is right when you're with others. Let no one despise your youth. I'd like you to think about this, the story of David. When David went to the battle to meet Goliath, when David came, his brothers rebuked him. They scolded him with boldness. What are you doing out here in the naughtiness of your heart? King Saul doubted David's ability due to his youth. Past evidence of David's faith was revealed to King Saul. Goliath despised David. He says, you're but a youth, and you're coming out to fight with me. David withstood every criticism he was faced with. He did not seek personal glory. The greatest is the one who serves others. Young person, don't doubt your faith and ability to serve God when he is living within your heart. Have the faith of David. He saw a cause at stake. And while he stood alone, and his own very brothers ridiculed him, and the king doubted him, serve the Lord unselfishly. Give your all to him. And I appreciate all of you who find fulfillment in serving the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:12 is encouraging you to be that kind of example. Your life affects others beyond your friends and age group. You are the future of the church. And as you take that stand tonight, you will be prepared for things like marriage, if the Lord should lead you into that. But God doesn't lead everybody into that. The most important fact is that we can find contentment right now where God has placed us and where God has called you to serve. I wanted to give you the encouragement to set the example. Titus 2:8 and Ephesians 4:29 gives a lot of admonition on that. In conduct, manner of life, Be the example. Sober-minded, not being always silly and joking around. Conduct comes from the mind. What goes into your mind will come out in your conduct. And there's many scriptures I have listed with all of these. But you must choose to be different. You must choose to stand for Jesus tonight and be a disciple of His and meet the requirements for discipleship. Your conduct might help to save someone else. And maybe you never found out about it even. But maybe because of what you chose that night may have helped keep someone from going over the brink. In love, love goes before everything else. Neighbor as yourself. Brethren in the church, our enemies. Love is the response of the one who knows God. So others know that you are a true Christian. To be like God, to be a mature child of God. May each of you, as youth tonight, strive for that. In spirit, in disposition of humility and godliness, and of wisdom and fear of God, in fervent service. Spirit of respect for your elders, for your parents, for your church leaders. Even though you may expose yourself to a large criticism at times when you are disrespectful to your elders. Young people, you have a reputation that is going to speak very loudly to the world around us. Is anything that's going to speak a stronger testimony to the world is faithful youth who are serving the Lord and who are living that kind of life. You have a reputation that's going to speak volumes. In faith, diligent faith to God's will and to please Him. Strong and unwavering faith tonight. Your victory in this world is your faith tonight in Jesus Christ. In purity, like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife caught him, he fled, left his coat there. Tonight, can we flee those things of immorality? Can we help our children flee those things of immorality and immoral things in our society today? I'm afraid sometimes we become too used to those things. Like Daniel, when those with authority over you propose that you compromise your faith just a little bit. I went to public high school. I know what it's all about. You're a Mennonite? Back in those days, there were more Mennonites who went to public high school. Be grateful for the Christian day school teaching that you have. It's a blessing to the church. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, I believe it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Love God, love His Word, and love the things of God, and love the people of God. Young Timothy was not despised because he had a proven character. He was tried. And tonight, my friends, young people, remember, go out now when you are young. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because there is much evil about you. Be a good example of godliness. You will honor God, and you will have an effective influence on others, and you will help others honor God too. I think we're going to leave off there tonight. I have some thoughts here tonight about how we can, as parents, what we can do to help keep our young people in the churches today. And we talked enough about some of those things. But I want to encourage you as youth tonight, to be a faithful witness. Serve the Lord Jesus wherever he calls you. Yes, it might be in the classroom. I don't know if there's a school teacher sitting here or not. But it might be in the classroom. It might be in Bangladesh. It might be in Honduras. Be ready to give your life for the cause of Christ and serve him wherever he calls you. Parents, tonight, I think we have a responsibility to let go of our youth too when the church calls, when the Lord calls through the church. We can't just keep them all around us. We need to be ready to let go and bless them in their endeavor to serve the Lord in foreign lands and in distant places at an old enough age, of course, when they are mature. We need to be willing to let go and allow God to use them as tools and as instruments in his hand and support them in that effort. Shall we pray? Tonight, we just come humbly before you, Lord. We pray for our young people here tonight. God, we pray, bless them as they endeavor to give themselves in service to you. Bless each parent here tonight as they support them in that and give them encouragement and not be so concerned about the wealth of this world or the business that you want your, that we sometimes want our children to get engaged in, and the Lord calls them elsewhere. Oh Lord, that we would willingly give them up for them to serve you in other areas of the world. Bless each family as they go from here tonight. And may the things that have been done and said today be to your honor and glory.